when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made? You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, gift stealing, wheel of dealing, limousine light, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Oh, you know it's time. It's time for the Ric Flair Top 5. Welcome to the Fig Cave. I'm pumped up. I put that video together. I just played two YouTube videos at the same time. That's all I really did. But we're here in the Jimmy's Famous Seafood Studios. I'm your host, the Hot Take Kid, Phil Gentile. We're going to have our buddy Tommy Paradise on from the Run-In Podcast in just a couple moments here. The biggest Ric Flair fan you'll ever meet. We're going to ask him why he's such a big Ric Flair fan, how he got into Ric Flair, his favorite top five Ric Flair figures, get to know him a little bit more, and how he started his podcast with our good buddy DJ. If you don't listen to the Run-In Podcast, you should. Great listen. They talk wrestling figures. They talk pop culture, movies, candy. I don't know why I said candy. That's one of the things they mentioned. But they talk about everything. Okay, food. I guess just food. All-encompassing food, not just candy. They're not fucking five-year-old kids. But it is a great podcast. I listen to it every Friday when I'm making my rounds in the car, driving from account to account. That's my Friday morning fix, the Run-In Podcast. So we'll talk to Tom in just a moment. And later on in the show, we will give away the Warlord Collector's Edition Elite. We did a little giveaway on our social media. We're going to announce the winner tonight. If you won, slide into our DMs on Instagram or Twitter, or you can email us at thefigcave@gmail.com. But let's get Tom on the line. Let's start talking about the 16-time world champion Ric Flair and his five greatest wrestling figures of all time. All right, hey, what do you say? Stole his line right off the bat. It is the man, the myth. It is our buddy Tommy Paradise from the Run-In Podcast. What's up, brother? What's going on?
What's up, man? Those Macho Man figures behind you look real good.
Hey, don't eye him up, man. Don't eye him up too much.
I need that Slim Jim holder.
Oh, dude, that was a gift from the wife. The counter
I fucked
unit.
Up on
yeah.
that. I dropped the ball on that, but.
So we are here to talk about Ric Flair, 16-time world champion, and we're going to talk about you, talk about your podcast, but Ric Flair, so we've done so far Bret Hart, we've done Ultimate Warrior, and we've done John Cena with our buddy Kenny from the Call-Up. Ric Flair is one of those odd guys. He's had a figure since back in the day with Remco, all the way up now with Mattel. What got you into Ric Flair? Before we talk about the Run-In Podcast, what got you into Ric Flair? Because he's kind of a little before. I know you're a little bit older than me by a year or two. We're about the same age. But, I mean, his heyday was before, you know, we were even walking, you know. So what kind of got you into him? And I know you're a big WWE guy. So most of his time was before he came to WWE. What was what attracted you to the Nature Boy?
Yeah, it's funny. If you heard my story without hearing me say I love Ric Flair, you would definitely be like, you'd say the same thing you just said, is like, how the hell then did you become a Ric Flair fan? Mm-hmm. So his WWF run when he came out in like 91 and, you know, Bobby Heenan showed him off on Wrestling Challenge. I don't know. I've always liked bad guys, and something just drew me to him. During that WWF run, the problem was I loved Bret Hart too at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then Bret beat Flair for the title. I just remember watching that 1992 Royal Rumble, and he went he went from number three to the distance, won the championship. His promos were unreal. Always got my attention. There's just something about him. So then, fast forward, maybe that little break in between his WWF run and when he went back to WCW, I went to Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida with my grandfather, my grandmother, and my mom. And we're walking by this random ass building, and it was a TV talk show that they tape. It was called Harris and Company. So random. But I remember walking by, and on the marquee or whatever, it said Ric Flair, today, and it was spelled R-I-C. So immediately, as a 10-year-old me, I'm like, that's wrestling Ric Flair can, or 11-year-old me, however old I was.
Yeah.
10 or 11. It was like 93 or whatever.
Okay.
I'm like, Ma, can we go get in line for this thing? So long story short, we met a couple in line while we were waiting to go into this talk show, where this couple had season passes to Busch Gardens. They went to the show every single day, so they knew all the stagehands and stuff. And I told them I was a huge wrestling fan, that I like Ric Flair. And they pulled some strings, and Ric Flair like cut a promo on the host and like busted out of the building. And there's actually, they cut, I have the VHS somewhere, but they cut to me in the crowd all fired up, pointing, wooing, just going insane. And then one of the stagehands comes up to me after he walked out the door and said, you know, he didn't actually leave. He's waiting outside that door to meet you.
Wow.
So, and there was literally like, I mean, everybody's like jet fly, you know, he's jet flying, yeah, limousine ride, and there was literally a helicopter waiting, and he was waiting for me to go out just to say hi. And when I went out to say hi, shook his hand, I was nervous as hell. He handed me two tickets to the event that was going on in Lakeland, Florida that night. So my grandfather said it was too long of a drive, we couldn't go, but it was still cool. I have the tickets somewhere in like an album.
Oh my god, dude.
Ric Flair handed me. So as soon as we got back, I got back into WCW. I mean, I was a wrestling fan my whole life. So, you know, WCW Saturday Night was on at 6:05, but we didn't get TBS where I lived up until, like, I remember, like, going to my grandmother, one of my grandmother's house. She had it in Connecticut, but I grew up in Mass, and in Mass, we didn't get TBS. So every time I went to my grandma's, I remember watching WCW Saturday Night and just, you know, being drawn in by him. But I also remember after I met him that first time, going to the video store and grabbing the, you know, VHSs of, you know, Starrcade and the best cage matches and all that stuff, and watching all his old stuff and just falling in love with him.
Yeah. I mean, as a kid, that's what is going to make you a lifelong fan of a guy, is then, you know, you meet him, he's an awesome person, then you go back and watch the matches and, you know, stuff that was, you know, before your time. That's awesome, man. That's a really cool story. I've never heard that story from you, so.
Yeah, I don't know that many people actually have, to be honest with you. That aren't, you know, that aren't super close to me or whatever. So I don't even know if like some of my in real life friends know that story. So
that's awesome, man. And I remember those days because my parents used to go to church on Saturdays at 5, and I used to like beg them. They used to always talk to old people afterwards, and I'd be like, "God, it's WCW is about to start at 6:05. Let's go." And,
yeah,
you know,
5 minutes.
And it wasn't a huge WCW. It was just cool. Like, when you're a kid, you just want to watch whatever wrestling you can. Like, there was Saturday morning on WWE, and that was it. There was no Raw. There was no Nitro. Yeah. It was like, you know, you had two chances to watch wrestling.
I remember going to, like, discount stores with my mom. My parents got divorced when I was, like, in second grade. So my mom, you know, didn't have a ton of money or whatever. Single mom. And I remember, like, her taking us to, like, discount stores. You know, Ocean State or Big Lots or whatever they are now, and like just grabbing whatever VHS I could for $5 or $10, whatever it was. I remember like I had some Jerry Lawler ones and like just like old stuff that like whatever I could get my hands on. And the same thing at the video store, I would rent anything I could. So
very nice. It's a good story, man. Yeah. So Ric Flair, a big part of your childhood. Now we're celebrating him as he's been around the block figure-wise. Let's talk about the Run-In Podcast. You guys can follow them if you don't already. It's Instagram, The Run-In Pod, and Twitter is at Run-In Podcast.
Sir.
How did you guys start the podcast? We're going to have DJ on in the next couple weeks to talk about some Sting figures. You guys met through our Facebook group, and you just kind of became friends, and then you decided, hey, let's just start a podcast?
Yeah, we met through another Facebook group that a bunch of us were formerly in. Mm-hmm. And we just started talking one day. And I think I actually bought a Razor Ramon Hasbro off of him. And he told me he was going to be on a podcast, as a guest and trying it out. And, I kind of had the itch from listening to the Major Brothers and a couple other wrestling podcasts. I know I'd reached out to you a couple times about maybe doing something. You had other stuff going on. And it just ended up, you know, coming to fruition where it was like, all right, let's talk this out and see if we can actually make something happen. We have a lot of the same interests. I think one of the funnest parts most fun part about our podcast is that we are getting to know each other as we do this. So, and a lot of people have said to us, like, it sounds like you guys have known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case. Like, we met doing the podcast So there is still stuff that, you know, if you listen to this week's show, I talk about how I found out he was on Soul Train, for the first time, found out he was on like some, you know, Discovery channel show where they paid for his family's Disney vacation. We're learning a lot about each other as we go through the motions of the podcast. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been like a genuine friendship too. You know, he came out here to do a meet, to go up to Albany, New York for a meet and greet that Heroes Hideout put together with a bunch of guys. And we met up with Kenny and Charles Andrew, who has become a little part of our show as well. So it's just been a crazy ride. Just kind of going through, you know, it started and we've been, you know, mildly successful and having a lot of fun doing it. So
yeah, you guys
getting to know each other.
You guys have a great, you know, rapport back and forth for sure. It does sound like you guys have known each other for a while, but you know, it's just cool that you've kind of met through, you know, meeting people through the internet, starting a podcast. And, now I talk to the two of you guys and the rest of our inner circle chat more than I talk to my, you know, friends from 20 minutes away. So it's pretty cool that we've, form this friendship with people. And you know, we've met a couple times. I'm hoping to meet DJ eventually when we get out and do a trip together or something. So the podcast is great, you guys. I talked about it in the intro, but you know, I don't watch a lot of wrestling, so I kind of catch up by listening to you guys. I don't watch Raw, SmackDown, and NXT and all that stuff. You guys talk about that. Yeah, you talk about that. You talk about figures. You talk about movies, food, all kinds of pop culture stuff. So even if you're kind of a fringe wrestling fan, I think you still kind of touch all the bases for people. So it's a great, great show. I love being a part of it when you guys want me to do some guest spots here and there. So good shit.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted with the podcast is I didn't want to. I know there's a million wrestling podcasts out there. I didn't want to be like all the other wrestling pods. I want to do a little wrestling, action figures, obviously, and then do a little bit of pop culture and just like random, like we do this or that where we pick, you know, sometimes it might be a figure. Like, do you like this Ric Flair figure or this that Ric Flair figure? But like this week we did arcade games. It was like, you know, 4-player arcade games.
Oh, nice.
You know, which would you choose, the Simpsons or X-Men? Or we did a couple X-Men, Simpsons or Ninja Turtles, like, you know, they're all pretty much the same game. But you know, it's we try to make it more than just wrestling and have our personalities actually come through and it's just have a lot of fun with it. So and so far we are doing that. So
all right,
it never feels like work.
No, that's when you got to stop a podcast, when it feels like you got to put in work. It is a lot of work to do. Like you talked about it before we started. You got to, you know, we both write up scripts. I wrote up questions for you here. You edit your podcast. I don't edit shit, but you put in a lot of great sound bites and advertisers and stuff like that. So it's a lot of work, but I mean, it doesn't feel like it if you're enjoying yourself. So that's important, you know.
It is. And then we got the YouTube channel and the Twitch and Instagram and Twitter. And it is. It's a lot to keep up with.
You
know, so
you need to hire an intern. Let's get some interns, man. Some high school, like, seniors.
Is Nash available?
Yeah.
Can I hire Nash?
No, he would just he would fuck it all up. all right. We're here to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Ric Flair. Debuted in December of 1972. I was negative 10 years old.
Same, bro.
16-time world champion, big-time feuds with Sting, Dusty Rhodes, and Steamboat. We talked about his time in that Royal Rumble in 92. That just, he was a made man after that. Just an awesome performance and one of the best matches ever. And, again, one of the few guys to have a Remco, a Hasbro, a OSFTM, a Jax, and a Mattel figure. So you're going to pick your top five. This is hard to do, especially for you, I'm sure. You have some figures to show us. We're recording. Oh, I didn't even hit the video button. So let's do that real quick. This is the important part. At least we'll record it. And then if we put it on YouTube,
Recording in progress.
There we go. Recording in progress. So now we're going to do our top five figures with Tommy Paradise from the Run-In Podcast. I have some here mint on card. I have four Ric Flair figures in my collection. I don't know if any of them are going to be on your top five list, but I am not picking this. You are picking. So let's start from the bottom and work the way up.
All right. I'm going to start with number five, obviously. I'm going to start with the sentimental favorite. Now, I've got a couple of these have custom belts on them if you're watching the video, but I'm going to start with the Galoob. This is my first Ric Flair figure. I think it's way better than the Hasbro. Playability wise, like, he's in a good pose where, like, I remember playing a lot with this when I was a kid and doing hip tosses and all clotheslines and trying to do the figure four and stuff. Whereas the Hasbro, you can only really do one move. Like, I have a carded Hasbro and I have a loose Hasbro in my collection. But just sentimentally and figure wise, I think the Galoob really scratches that figure itch, if you will, for me, just because, like I said, it was my first Flair figure. I also, the title I have on him, I don't know if you can see that there.
Thank you for holding that up. That looks
That is the WCW, not the big gold belt, but that's the WCW belt from Wrestling Figure Workshop.
That's that thing's pretty minty, that figure.
Oh yeah, this is in great shape. I don't have a lot of the Flair Galoobs have, like, the paint is coming off the butt, or even the feet, and there's like no paint coming off of this one. I honestly do not remember where I got this one. I have the UK version too, where he's wearing red trunks with a lightning bolt across them. That one's not in as great shape, but it was much harder to get, obviously. I need that mint on card still, though, for the collection. Ooh. So,
okay.
One of these days I'll suck it up and buy it. So that's my, that's number five.
And you said, sorry, I cut you off. Wrestling Figure Workshop makes those belts. Those are pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they do them for Hasbros. So I have, like, the tag team on Legion of Doom. I bought another Winged Eagle WWF for the Hasbros. I think that's on Hogan. An Intercontinental for the Hasbros. It's good stuff. Look them up. They're based in the UK.
Very nice. So. And we did mention we're both using WrestlingFigureDatabase.com to kind of get some photos of. You can basically search at the top of the homepage any wrestler. And it'll come up. We've done this for every episode, but the Ric Flair figures go, you know, all the way back. They got pictures of every single figure ever made for Ric Flair. So if you want to follow along, just go to WrestlingFigureDatabase.com and search for Ric Flair. And that's your... I've never held a Galoob figure in my hand, so...
Really? You didn't have any when you were a kid?
Never had a single... Kid? Yeah, I was a Hasbro kid. I wasn't into WCW until probably... I think seventh, eighth grade. So I was kind of getting out of wrestling figures at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're kind of, I mean, they are like the LJN, kind of a smaller version of the LJN, right? It's just kind of like a rubbery kind of posed in one position type of figure.
It's more like a hard plastic.
Okay.
They're not rubber.
Okay.
No, they're not bendy at all. They're like they're definitely a hard plastic. So, man, I remember having – I actually had my first wrestling figure ring was the WCW ring. Came with a steel cage, a mallet to ring the bell.
Wow.
The Galoob WCW ring was – I was a little disappointed when I got – I was like, where's the blue Hasbro ring? You know, when I opened up my birthday present or whatever. But once I started playing with that thing, I loved it. Nice. And then I had, like, Sting, Barry Windham, Sid Justice, the Steiners – I had a lot of the Galoobs, and actually I remember as a kid playing with taking Adam or Sid Justice and painting him to look like Adam Bomb.
Oh, that's a good call.
I loved Adam Bomb.
Nice. All right, number five in the book. Let's go to number four on your top five Ric Flair list.
Number four, I actually have MOC. This was a very hard piece for me to get. It's normally in a case. I took it out for the case tonight. It is a limited edition WWE Network, or not Network, WWE Classics on Demand 24/7. Jax Classic Superstar in the pink robe. This is kind of like what the Ultimate Edition looks like now.
Yep.
But it just this was, I was after this piece since like 2005 or 2008, whenever it dropped, and came across it within the last year or two, actually, from a friend of the Run-In podcast, Jack from Figure Collections hooked me up with that for a super good price. So
things minty as hell as well. Jesus.
It's got a couple, I mean, as most of the Jack's classics do, it's got a couple dings on the corners and stuff, but yep. for its age, it's in very, very good shape. And this hangs on my wall. I'm very, very, very happy with this one.
Hold that up to the camera just so I can see it, so that people can see it. Yeah, you got the pink. Yeah, it's very similar to the Ultimate Edition, pink and purple. I like that. You got the big gold belt.
Yeah, he's got the little bit of the Wu face on there.
It's crazy that Jax did, like, I don't know, they did so many things well, but then they also, like, have so many things that are just, like, huge misses or weird. Like, you showed me that figure we'll talk about in a little bit. I don't want to spoil it. You know, it's just, I guess Mattel, to a certain extent, has done that too. But I guess Jack's just made so much stuff. They just threw so much stuff against the wall, and some stuff stuck and some didn't. So
yeah, they'll forget to put knee pads on a figure or, you know, something like that, whatever. It is. It's weird. It's weird.
So we got a Galoob. We got a Jack so far. Let's see how many different lines we get here on your top five.
All right. So number three is actually going to be a Mattel basic. This was a hard decision between number two and number three. But this basic suited Ric Flair. He did not come with that title. That is a Forbidden Figurines NWA 10 pounds of gold belt. But this is from the basic flashback series. This is the build, the J.J. Dillon figure line. This is like a Walmart exclusive. But Jax did a version of this where he actually has the four horsemen hand. It's the only thing that would make this a little bit better. The reason I picked this one though is just because the scan is way better.
That's a great figure.
Yeah, I love this figure. Like I said, this is very almost my number two. You'll see why I went with what I went with for number two. But yeah, sunglasses. Like I said, I wish he did have the four horsemen hand. What can you do? He just looks more realistic than the Jax. The Jax, the four horseman hand, is just so big. He came in a two pack with Arn Anderson, I think, in that classic line, and
got like alien fingers.
Suit. Yeah, it's just like, and that's another thing about Jax. You know, we were kind of talking about. Sorry, he came with Barry Windham. Okay. I just looked it up. And the sunglasses like wrapped around his head, and there's like a string around him, like this Mattel. Like there's actually lines in his head where the glasses like sit. So they just did it way. They took the same idea and did it way better. The Jack's body proportions sometimes are just so far off. Hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I remember seeing this flashback basic. I remember seeing it at Walmart. Then I think I saw it at Ollie's and I just never bought it. And I should have bought it. When in doubt,
especially a basic, man, $10. I think the rest of the set is Sting, Luger, and Booker T.
So
it was like an all WCW set.
Yeah, it did some cool basics back in the day. Not even back in the day. This was like 3 years ago. You know.
Yeah. Yep. And then you got the J.J. Dillon Build-A-Figure. So I remember hunting for that too hard because I wanted J.J. Dillon and I wanted Flair, obviously.
Yeah.
And I remember driving about 40 minutes away because I saw that they had him on Brickseek, and scored. So
very nice.
Yeah.
All right, good shit. What's your number two, my friend?
Number two is another Mattel. The rest are Mattels, spoiler alert. And it is the original, or the first, I should say. This is the first Ric Flair Mattel I bought. It is the first defining moments with that black robe. This black robe is iconic. Hey, I got it mint on card too.
Oh, wow. You finally have one that I own.
It's just, I mean, the big gold belt, the blue trunks. I like the other defining moment, his last match there.
Yeah.
But this one, like the black robe is just so iconic.
Yeah.
You know, Sensational Sherry wore it with probably no clothes on underneath it. We've all seen that famous picture. But like his WWE run or WWF run, everybody talks about the red robe. And for me, man, that black robe, I mean, that's what he wore at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
I feel like that's what he wore most of the time in WWF is the black robe and the butterflies. I have these chalk line shorts with the same pattern.
Nice.
But yeah, this figure, the scan is right on for the time, you know, 90s. The tights are beautiful. The font on his trunks and his boots are perfect. And then, of course, you get the big gold belt as well. Yeah.
I talked about this on these top five episodes, how much I love this defining moments packaging. Like, just to see the back, you can see the side. Each of the packages are made specifically for each guy. So they have, like, Ric Flair. They have, like, you know, the sequins on the inside of the box. It's just a great packaging. Good call on number two there.
I love the defining moments line. Right. So good.
I got three more Ric Flair figures here on my desk. It doesn't seem like you're going to pick any of them, so I want to see who number one is going to be.
No, there's definitely one I'm going to pick.
Okay.
Because you are an Ultimate Edition guy. Got to go with the Ultimate Edition. I have it carded in the back there somewhere, but I busted out the loose for this. And this is another Forbidden Figurines belt that she sells This is the big gold belt, but it's actually got Ric Flair's name on the nameplate. So I'm not a big fan of when figures have the belt over the robe, but because this has his name on the nameplate, I had to do it. You get the Four Horsemen hand, the Woo face, the taped fingers. Like, there's just so where he keeps his blade. There's the robe. I mean, like, what else is there to say about this figure? It's just, it's perfect. It's Diamonds Are Forever, and so is the Ultimate Edition Ric Flair figure.
Yeah, the Woo face is what sells it. The Four Horsemen hands, the robe is just, I can't say enough about these Ultimate Edition figures, and I feel bad for the people that are now trying to get into it, that are trying to buy back the old ones, because now that this line keeps going and they keep getting better and better, you know, people are really jumping on it. But I've heard everyone that comes out, people say, this is the best Ric Flair figure ever. This is the best Rock figure ever. This is the best Undertaker figure ever. So, you know, Mattel's doing it right. So I have a couple more here on my desk. You did not pick this Defining Moments. I think you picked the right one, but I wanted to just show this one. This is from his last match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania with that blue sequin, kind of very similar box to the...
I have a quick story about that, if you want to hear it real quick.
I want to go watch Netflix with Monday my wife.
Night, or Thursday Night Football?
No, I don't watch this shitty game.
That figure I brought to a signing to get signed, and it was when paint pens first like became a thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is gonna look sick. I'm gonna have him make it out to Tom. Silver paint pen, it's gonna look great. It was at a minor league hockey game, and he goes to write to Tom on it, and the paint pen just dripped everywhere. All over the package. So he goes, I hate these fucking things. And he just started licking his finger. He wiped it all off and then signed it with a regular Sharpie. So it kind of looks like shit because he wiped it off and then he signed it with Sharpie. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. So it's fading. But it was just like, he licked my figure, man.
Exactly.
But then that same night, I actually won the Ric Flair hockey jersey that's behind me. It was for that same team. And they raffled off Springfield Thunderbirds jersey. That he signed, Nature Boy Ric Flair. So it all worked out. And then the wife got me a frame for it. So, I do like that figure. It was just like, if I'm going to pick a defining moment, it's that black robe one.
How many Ric Flair autographs do you have? Not just figures,
I have an 8x10, a figure, a belt. That's it. Okay. Three things. Not too many.
Yeah, that's a hard autograph to get. He's not like, you know, one of those guys that's around all the time. So
he's expensive too. Sometimes he's super expensive. I thought about getting, I want to get the black and the black robe, mint on card signed eventually. And now that paint pens have been around for a little bit longer and he's used to using them, hopefully
the technology has improved. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
nice.
This wrestling figure database, to put them over real quick, they actually stumped. There's a few figures on here that I didn't even know existed.
It's dangerous, man, because I told you I did that for Kurt Angle, and there's so many that I just don't even have that I thought I already had that, you know, oh, shit, he came with a black trunk one and all this stuff. But, yeah, this is it's a great website. These guys have put a lot of work in. We had them on one of our early episodes of the podcast. And they were still in the early stages of building it out. And I was the one, I'm not the only one, but I was like, you got to have a search by person feature. Like that's a game changer. Like without that, it would just be needle in a haystack shit. And they did it. And they've, you know, it's really well done. It's just cool to see them all. And you can click on a picture and just hit on your keyboard, just hit, you know, right. And just go boom, boom, boom. And just cross them off, make a little checklist.
Yep.
It's pretty cool, especially the Jax ones. Are just, do you have this Unchained Fury? There's like a Ric Flair, it's like just accessories. It's like a Ric Flair chair with a briefcase and a like shake weight or something.
I was going to bring that up, actually. It's a lead pipe, a briefcase that actually has like his little logo there on it, and then the chair with his logo on it, and then a microphone. I paid way too much money for that for what it was. Yeah. But there's only like two or three of them on eBay, and I jumped on that recently. But not, I say recently, it's probably a year or so ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, I need to get that. Also on here, I was telling you before we went on the air, there's like Match Champs Jax line, which I've never heard of. And I typed that into eBay earlier today when I saw this. It's a Ric Flair figure in a referee shirt. Mm-hmm. I typed that in and in eBay, and no luck finding that. So.
Oh no! Then save searches.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. There is a lot in here that I don't have. Just random stuff in here.
Oh, I see this. Match
every Ric Flair Jax figure too from that era came with a lead pipe.
I saw that. I saw like four of them in a row. It looks like a bong.
Yeah.
Did he use a lead pipe a lot in WWE? I don't remember then.
There, like he had a feud with The Undertaker leading up to like WrestleMania 18, and that's the only time I remember him ever using a lead pipe.
Yeah, I just clicked but on like it. Five figures. They all have a lead pipe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just like a couple honorable mentions. This best of WCW Jax.
I was just looking at Ric Flair. Yeah, that's good.
Mom hair Flair. I like that. I love that figure. There's a Jax classic superstars in the green robe. I've actually been watching that on eBay recently.
Oh shit. I sold that about a year or two ago.
Damn. It's like $80 right now on eBay for some reason. And then of course there's the white robe Jax. That's like an employee exclusive, which I'll probably never own, from 2005.
One of 25. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Crazy. Jeez. So
that's tough. But, other Ric Flair figure I have here is this Retro Fest, which is kind of like a basic bitch Ric Flair. Like yep. He has no emotion on his face, but the robe's nice. I bought this for the packaging. I love this.
Yeah,
Retro
those
Fest.
Retro Fests are money. I have one loose and one mint on card for those.
What is the worst Ric Flair figure?
Thought you would never ask. So Jax, in a that so Jax moment, to quote the. To quote the Major Brothers, they did a two-pack with WrestleMania X8 at WrestleMania 18. It's Undertaker and Ric Flair. And the first run of this figure came out like this with Ric Flair with black hair. Now, that's not like that's terrible, but like the rest of this, like it's like they use Times New Roman font on his boot.
Basic
and
bitch.
Then, like,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. The RF on his crotch.
On the front?
It's on his crotch, not off to the side, not to mention the freaking black hair.
Yeah.
So this is actually, it's not super, super rare, but it's rare enough.
Yeah.
Where I had a hard time finding it, and I'm like, it's so bad, I have to have it.
Because they probably stopped and remade it with the right color, I guess.
Yep, they re-released it with the right color. There's some bad San Francisco Toy Makers ones, too. There's actually a two-pack main event wrestlers with Hogan. The Hogan's bad. It's another, like, it looks like they used the head from another figure line, and then the RF is like right on his crotch instead of off to the side. There's like a fearsome foursome where it's Diamond Dallas Page, Chris Benoit, Flair, and Goldberg, and like that that figure to me looks worse than like the Gloob. Like the Gloob has more detail and stuff in it than some of these San Francisco Toy Maker figures.
What's the weirdest piece of Ric Flair merch that you have? Doesn't have to be a figure.
Ooh, that I have. I have a book from a comic book that he's like drawn in from Japan.
Really?
Maybe I can send you some pictures to put in the video.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the weirdest.
I mean, that hockey jersey is pretty, not weird, but it's probably unique. Like, how many, that's probably the
that,
only
yeah,
one
that's a
exists.
One of one.
Yeah.
I have some beer cans, you know, that were featured with, you
know,
yeah,
I gave you one of this.
You did. And then there's one out here. I want to say Greater Good is the brewery who made it. And they did it's a moose with, a moose with a Ric Flair robe on it. Like they stole his likeness, but put it all on a moose.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. I think I don't really have anything super, super weird. I did see that there's like an old school Galoob watch on eBay last night while we were recording the podcast.
Oh man.
We were talking about that. It's $200 for a fucking kid's watch.
See, it's going to be tough to have a collection. Like, it's the same way with Macho Man, but he didn't have as many figures as Ric Flair. I feel like there's got to be, you mentioned it before, just stuff that you don't even know existed, and then it comes up, you see it on eBay.
Yep.
Like, you just do a search for Ric Flair, and you're going to see something probably you didn't even know existed, and it's probably going to be $100 or $200. That's...
Yeah, yep. And that's kind of what happened with, going on that figure database site, the WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. is that Evolution 3-pack, I didn't know that was a thing, and I just looked it up, and it's $200. There's only one on eBay right now, and it's $200. So, yeah, it's just you're always, especially with how long he's been around. Same thing, like you said, with Macho Man. They both were, you know, been around forever. So, like, trying to find stuff, or when you come up with something, it's going to be pricey for the most part.
For sure. Any thoughts on the recent allegations and all the bullshit against Ric Flair? I mean, I hope we haven't seen the last of him. You know, he's kind of up there in age. You know, he did some stuff back in the day, which probably seemed innocent at the time. I don't want to get into all that stuff, but he's kind of been pushed away. You know, he was released by WWE. He hasn't really shown up in any kind of wrestling promotion. He's getting up there in age. Do you think we've seen the last of Ric Flair in the public, or do you think, you know, another year from now we see him back somewhere?
No, I think he'll be back eventually. I just think he, I think he obviously did that. I think if you pay attention to the story, I think afterwards there was some stuff that came out about the woman who made those allegations about her being like a con artist. And I'm not saying she made all that up, because it's definitely something Ric Flair would do, but I could see the truth being twisted a little bit. I'm not saying Ric Flair is a angel or anything like that.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
You know, but I could see, you know, somebody trying to take advantage of the situation totally for some extra money. So, this story has been out there for, you know, how many years now, and this is the first time it's come up with that, with the documentary. That I'm not trying to say.
No, I see what you're saying. Like, this was 20 years ago, and obviously they want to get some sensational stories on Dark Side of the Ring, but
right.
To punish a guy for something that happened so long ago, that, you know, I don't know if this was already been covered, and if there's a lawsuit or whatever, and he's already paid for this, he's already been punished for it. I don't know, but I just hope we haven't seen the last of Ric Flair. You know, some of these guys like Hulk Hogan, you know, that we were childhood fans of, might not have been the best guys in the world, but it's just, you know, there's only so few of these guys left on the planet that we idolized and loved growing up, that I just want to be able to soak as much up as we can until they're not here anymore. You know,
and again, I'm not saying it was okay what he did, but at the same time, it's like it's a different time. You know, back then you had Terry Runnels in that same, you know, that same documentary where she's saying that some stuff happened to her, and nobody's making a big deal out of that. They're all just saying, you know, no, sell it or whatever. So it's like they're like picking and choosing. I feel like Ric Flair got the short end of the stick here a little bit. Not saying he's like a perfect angel or anything like that, but I think some of it was exaggerated a bit. So, but what do I know? I think he'll be back sooner than later. I don't know if he'll be with AEW or WWE or what, but I think he will definitely be back on our TV screen soon.
I would love to see, you know, we've seen so many Mattel figures from him. I would love to see him sign with AEW just to get him into that Legends line. And I'm wondering if AEW is going to do that. I mean, Jeremy Padour ran Jax and had that classic Superstars line where they just signed a bunch of people. I'm wondering if we're going to get to the point maybe next year where it's just like, okay, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is out of his contract. Does he want to sign and be an AEW legend or a WWE legend? Like, who's going to give him the most money to make figures? Like, that would be great for us as fans, and I think it would motivate WWE to get some more motherfuckers under contract and give us some more unique figures. I mean, I love these legend figures, but I can only take so many Jake Roberts and Billy Gunns and all these others that before we, you know, give me something fresh and new. So
yeah, I agree 100%. They need to freshen up the roster. We don't need another Junkyard Dog or anything. You know, forget Junkyard Dog. You just made a a Warlord figure that's not going to have a Barbarian to go with it. So let's make that happen instead of, you know, giving us another JYD figure.
Some guys that like you might even think of as legends that, you know, the Head Shrinkers, the Smoking Guns, like get some of these guys signed and make some figures and do some shit with them, you know?
Oh man, I would love the Smoking Guns. A cool set.
It'd be awesome. But what do I know? What do I know? I think it is a cool time right now, and I think we will see Ric Flair hopefully back in some other form. Any final words on the Nature Boy before we get out of here, my friend?
Not really. I think we covered everything. Diamonds are forever, and so is Ric Flair. So yes. he'll be back. He'll be back.
His Hasbro was pretty awful, but overall, I think he's had some great figures, and you know, one of the best to ever do it. I hope John Cena doesn't break his record, but if he does, it's, you know, we'll see. We'll see. There'll be some backlash for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hope Cena does not break it. I hope not.
Tommy, thank you for joining us. Everybody check out the Run-In podcast. You guys drop new episodes every Friday. We just recorded a watch-along for the new Netflix Undertaker special, which was special in many different ways. But, Tommy, thank you for joining us. We'll have to do another one of these really soon, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks to Tommy Paradise from the Run-In podcast for joining us tonight to talk about all things Ric Flair related. And again, you can check out his podcast, The Run-In Podcast. They are on Instagram, The Run-In Pod, Twitter at Run-In Podcast. Him and DJ do some great stuff. Love both of those guys. And really have enjoyed becoming friends with those guys, man. They, you know, the best thing about the internet and the wrestling community is, like, you know, meeting people through, you know, social media, becoming friends with them. Now, me and Tom have met a couple times. He's come here to Baltimore. He stayed on my couch. So, great stuff, man. All right. Another episode in the books. Next time, we're going to do a top five with our buddy DJ from the Run-In podcast with some Sting figures, which I don't have. I have a couple. I have actually more pre-ordered than I have actually here in the house. So, that'll be fun. We'll talk to him about that, and we'll ask him the same question about how he met Tom. Give him the same answer, but it'd be fun. Let's get to our Warlord Elite Collector's Edition giveaway. We put this on our social media. We asked you guys to repost it. We had a ton of responses. I'm going to pick from all of the responses right now. I have listed out here in my phone. Let me go in here. All right. The winner of the Warlord Collector's Edition Elite Figure is Darren Anderson 487 on Instagram. Darren, I do wrestling figure photography. I love collecting wrestling figures. Well, Darren, you have a new figure for your collection, man. We're going to send you that Warlord. Just shoot us over your address, and we will get that all taken care of for you, man. And next week on the show, when we record that next episode, our good buddy Pete from the Dog Pound Wrestling Shop is going to give us a SummerSlam Elite Triple H Chase figure. So we're doing back-to-back giveaways. We're going to try to do as many giveaways now as we can for you guys, and support the show so much. So, yeah, that's the giveaway for this week. Darren Anderson is the winner. Next week, we're doing a Triple H Elite giveaway for that. And I'm excited, man. We're getting into the holidays here. We'll do some watch-alongs, some fun episodes. And I do want you guys to check out our Facebook group. It's just go to thefigcave.com. It'll take you there. And it's free to join. There's no dollar charge or anything like that to sign up for our Facebook. We have about 500 folks there that are buying and selling and trading figures back and forth. 533 to be exact. I just pulled it up. We do giveaways all the time in there. We do some live fig hunts. We do just random conversation. It's just a fun place to kind of hang out, our little corner of the internet. So check it out, thefigcave.com. It's free to enter, free to join, and it's a great place to, if you don't have, someone literally just messaged me while we were recording and asked me if I needed the Legends Kevin Nash Elite figure that's at Target now. And, you know, if you don't live by a Target or Walmart, or you missed out on something, do not pay eBay prices. Do not, you know, feed the scalpers. Come check out the Fig Cave. and save yourself some money. If you get some old stuff to sell, it's a great group to sell stuff in as well. So I can't recommend it enough. And we try to keep it to, you know, really good brothers and good sisters. So check it out. That's about it from us here, guys. We are going to get going. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for supporting. We still have some of the Fig Cave stickers that we have. And shoot me a message. We can get some of those sent out to you. Couple bucks throw my way, and I'll put them in the mail to you. Not a problem. And that's about it, guys. Thank you. Stay classy. And keep listening. We'll be back next week. See you.